put a shrimp on the Barbie, Cameron.
I was looking for the shrimp on the Barbie, though.
Oh, he may have done it.
Oh, my.
And now that call will forever stick.
That might have even been a lobster.
4 feet for the first eagle of the day. You bet.
Oh, come on. When have you ever known anyone to put a shrimp on the Barbie here in Australia, Del?
Not once.
No.
Not once.
No.
It's almost offensive, isn't it?
I feel for our next guest, Cam Percy, because I get the feeling that it's not the first time. He's been living overseas for quite a while now. I get the feeling it's not the first time that he's had to tell Americans in particular, and English are just as bad, that we don't put a shrimp on the Barbie. Cameron Percy joins us ahead of the Australian Open tomorrow. Cam, thanks for your time. Welcome back to Australia.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It's fantastic. I've been here 3 days now. I'm up in Sydney. It's been fantastic to be home. I spent the afternoon yesterday cruising around the harbour with a friend of mine, and we docked into Darling Harbour and had dinner. So it's been a good start to the trip.
Oh, what's the air conditions like up there? We've been well aware over the last couple of weeks about some of the really sad stories about the bushfires that is happening in that particular area. Is that swamped Sydney as well?
Yeah, it's terrible. It's you just walk outside and it's just smoke everywhere, and there's a real haze. It's almost like it's a little bit cloudy the whole time, if that makes any sense, but there's actually no clouds, so it's not real good up here at all.
And those that love their golf, there is one particular player, Bryson DeChambeau, that takes into the air density and wind conditions. Does this change anything in regards to the golf ball's flight if there's this overlaying level of smog?
I'm sure he would have a reason for it, or there'd be something there, but I haven't noticed anything yet. It hasn't made a difference at all, but that's something he would probably have looked at, I'm sure.
And what's your recent form been like, Cam? How you been travelling in recent months and coming into this Australian summer of golf?
Yeah, I've had a really good start to the season over there. I'm almost halfway to getting my card back already, and I've only played 4 or 5 events, so started off really well. I missed the last cut by a shot, which is a bit annoying, but I'm really happy with my game, and I start in Hawaii, and I could be playing 6 weeks in a row when I start back up over in January, so I'm in a nice little bit of form.
That form that you've got right now, and you've been playing, well, you've played all around the world over your career, clearly, but then coming back to Australia, is there something specific about our courses and our conditions that is specific to be successful here compared to around the world?
Yeah, there's definitely a difference down here. It's firmer. But in America, everything's all lush and they water the crap out of it, basically, to make it look green so it looks good on TV. So it's quite... over in America, everything's wet. So around the green, it's wet and soft. And the main difference here is... and there's rough everywhere. Whereas here this week, there's barely any rough. And if you miss the green, it's all really tight and firm. So... Yeah. I've spent the last 2 days just working on my chipping and trying to work out how to chip off it because I haven't done it for a year, basically, since I was here last year.
Well, most people putt off those tight lies around the greens. You play percentages on those particular courses. So if you're just getting a little bit nervy, grab the putter.
Yep. Well, actually, I worked out just a 3 would be even better.
Oh, yeah.
So 3 would got a little bit more loft than your putter. So I've worked out, I think if I miss the green this week and there's no bunker in the way, I'm just going to use a 3-wood, I think.
Nice.
I like that. That's a good strategy. Hey, Cam, how's the wrist? You had a fall earlier in the year that ended up being a bit more serious than perhaps what you first thought.
Yeah, it's nowhere near 100. It's actually quite sore. I wake up every morning and I can't do a push-up or anything. My wrist just hurts too much to do a push-up. So, I did it in April this year and it's been a bit of a nightmare, to be honest with you. It just kept getting complication after complication. And I played, I think, 4 weeks in a row to start the season. Actually, it was 7 or 8 weeks. And it's been really sore ever since. So I'm sort of half trying to look after it and trying to fix it again because it hadn't been sore for a little while, but now it's sore again. So just trying to work out what I can and can't do to stop it being sore, I guess.
Was there a point where you were starting to get a bit worried about how serious it was and whether it would impact you long term?
Yeah, I at one stage there, I did all the rehab and everything went great, and I started playing, and it hurt, and then my fingers went numb. I literally had I had pins and needles, that sensation in my fingers for like 2.5 weeks, and I couldn't get rid of it. And I'm like, this isn't. Oh, I was scared I was going to have a heart attack because I'm thinking, oh, my hand's gone numb. I'm going to have a heart attack. So I was scared to fly. I was just every day I'd wake up and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have a heart attack here. But my physio in Raleigh, he helped me out big time, and we did a lot of dry needling and that for about a month. Just caught to the month off golf and got the numbness out of my fingers. And then there was only one finger that was numb, and then that's gone now. So for a while there, I thought, oh, this is it. I'm finished with golf, and I wasn't too sure what I was going to do, to be honest with you.
Mm. Well, as you said, you're in good form at the moment, getting ready for the Australian starting tomorrow. There's a particular group that tees off at 11:50 a.m. Scott, Garcia and Casey. It must be good, once again, putting yourself up against some of the best players in the world. Have you already planned out roughly what sort of score you feel like you need to shoot day in, day out to match it with the best?
Not really, because it all depends on the wind and all that sort of stuff. Like, if we get no wind, because the greens are all little sections with slopes and that, so if there's no wind, we can use the slopes, and I'm assuming the scoring is going to be really low. But if it's windy, like it has been already, with a little gale on the last few days, it's going to be really hard. And there's 4 par 3s, and the shortest club I've hit's a 5-iron. So,
wow. Yeah.
I'm not sure what sort of score we're going to need, unless it all depends on the wind, basically.
And then, are you playing a pro-am today? Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm off at 1 o'clock today. So,
I've
slept until about 5 this morning. That's
nice. That's a good start. So, when you're playing a pro-am, and we've all played in them with the pros in the past, and we're out there trying to prove ourselves to say that we could be on the tour like you are. What are you actually trying to get out of it? How much are you there to obviously have a bit of fun and a moment to relax with, sponsors and other people that have joined in, but also learn the course? How much detail goes into today's round?
Well, today's a pro-am. I treat pro-ams like these people paid a lot of money to play with the pros. I treat them. I try and give the amateurs the best day they can. So I don't do any. I've done all my practice Monday, Tuesday. I've worked out where I want to go and all that sort of stuff. So I'll basically just today it'll just be a hit and giggle for me. And then I'll play probably the last 3 holes properly, like I'm actually trying sort of thing. But for me, it's all about having a good day with the playing partners and all that sort of stuff. So that's how I treat pro-ams.
Cam, it's great to have you back in the country, and good luck for what's to come in the next couple of weeks.
All right, thanks, guys.